Okay, ladies and gentlemen, it is my absolute pleasure to welcome to the Solari Report an attorney and advocate, a wonderful person who I've just gotten to know deeply, Ojai from Mumbai. I used to call it Bombay. So welcome to the Solari Report. Thank you so much for everything you're doing, and thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Catherine, for inviting me. It's a matter of great honor for me to be here today. Thank you so much.
So you're a member of a group of attorneys called the Indian Bar Association. Would you describe your legal background and then the attorneys who've gathered and what the Indian Bar Association is? It's different. You know, where we live, the Bar Association is a different kind of organization. Yours is more a private organization. So if you could explain your background, the lawyers that have come together in the Indian Bar Association, and how it got formed. And then we're going to talk about two lawsuits you have filed that are astonishing, and that's what we're here to talk about today. But just give us the background.
I'm a lawyer practicing in Mumbai at the Bombay High Court and also at our Apex Court, Supreme Court, which is in Delhi. And I'm also part of Indian Bar Association. We are a forum of lawyers, and our mission is to work to bring in greater transparency and accountability in Indian judiciary. And okay. As a part of our mission, what we do is we try to spread knowledge of law and make it simpler for a common man to understand. And in this endeavor, we have published several books, the latest being Law of Precedence. And we have made it available online on our website, www.indianbarassociation.in, so that most of the people can download and use it, and you know, it could be of benefit to them. And we try to make law and the terms of law simpler. Otherwise, it is a bit of a challenge for common man to understand the nitty-gritties of law and basically how to apply it in their legal cases. So this is first, area that we work very strongly into. Secondly, what we do is we analyze the judgments which are delivered by High Court and Supreme Court. Like we have experts in areas of civil law, criminal law, constitutional law. So we do keep a watch on the latest judgments, and you know, we have write-ups or you know, thought papers coming in. And in case we come across a case or a judgment where you know, we could see prima facie errors in the judgment, we also go and file a complaint against the judge who has delivered the judgment. And we have all such complaints also uploaded on our website. The audience could go and have a look at all those in the past. Like since 2014, we have uploaded all the complaints on our website.
So the courts and the judges know somebody's watching.
Certainly.
So yes. One thing I want to underscore, because I think what you're doing with procedures is wonderful. Now, is the procedures material you've made available, is that mostly civil procedures or is it civil and criminal?
It's both. It's a combination of both, civil as well as criminal.
And the other thing I wanted to stress, because some people who are not familiar with the courts and litigation sometimes don't realize, when you file a lawsuit, clearly you want to win, but it is also possible with a lawsuit, whether you win or lose, to bring out tremendous amounts of transparency. And so there's often a double agenda of trying to get something done, but trying to bring transparency to what is happening.
Certainly.
Yeah, and I when I listen to your interviews, I really hear that. Okay, so you rocked the world in November with the first lawsuit. You've just filed a second. So let me ask, so first give your URL, because all the materials descriptions are up on your website. So just give us the URL for the Indian Bar Association first.
Okay, so I'll take you briefly through both the cases that we have filed. The first being in November, on November 25th. Now, this is filed by a mother of a man, a 23-year-old man, who died immediately within hours of his first dose of Covishield vaccine. Now, Covishield vaccine is same as what is referred to as AstraZeneca in other countries. Yes. So now, why did he go for this vaccine? Number one, he believed what the government was telling all throughout, that the vaccines are safe. And vaccine is the only solution that could save a person from contracting COVID. And secondly, he was compelled to go in for this vaccine because he had to travel by railways to his place of work. He being the sole member of his family, earning member of his family, he had to travel by railways. And there had been a circular issued by state of Maharashtra, where, you know, I'm currently residing and also the victim is residing. Now, this circular, which was issued in mid-July 2021, it says that only vaccinated people would be allowed to travel by railways. Now, railways are, you know, a very popular mode of transport in Mumbai. Right. And right. lakhs of travelers use it as a very common mode to commute to their places of work and back home. And they are cheapest, unlike the private, transport. Right. So, and because of this restriction, he could not get a railway pass to board the railways and travel. So he was compelled to take the first dose of Covishield. And within 3 hours, he got... he got restless and he died. And, you know, when he passed away, he was alone because his mother was away from Mumbai. And she was desperately trying to contact him, but there was no response.
Now, when he died, he was the sole supporter of his immediate family.
Yes. His mother is a single mother and she has only one child, which was this 23-year-old man.
So he lost his life and she lost her financial base, her financial security. Okay.
Yes. Right. So when she realized that her son was not answering calls, she desperately tried to get, to break open the door through her relatives who were staying close by to her home. And she came back, at the earliest opportunity, and she realized that it was too late by then because he had passed away within few hours of his Covishield dose, first dose of Covishield. So his mother, there was a report which is prepared by the police once we register a case in the police station. So there is what in the local language we call it as a panchanama. So that report was prepared. However, his mother tried to lodge a police complaint in the local police station. They refused to register it. So she wrote to higher authorities. This was in, the man passed away on September 29th, 2021. And it was immediately within a week, she tried to reach out to the authorities whom she thought or she expected to help her.
Was there an autopsy?
No, there wasn't an autopsy.
But the government somewhere in here did admit that it was the vaccine that had killed him.
So the current status is she has referred the case to the National AEFI Committee, which is Adverse Event Following Immunization. Right. Now, this is a forum where a person can, it's voluntary, and a person could register his case and give the details of the date of vaccine, full details of the victim and what is the problem or what are the issues being faced, and can upload the certain documents which are requested by the system. So today the status is the case has been referred to AEFI. However, result is awaited. So we are yet to hear from AEFI committee, which if I could digress for a while, in the second case, in the latest petition, which we have filed, we have this AEFI report, which conclusively states that the doctor died due to Covishield vaccine. So, the first one, the report is awaited.
So the first one was young son of a single mother. The second is filed by a father of a daughter who was a doctor, a young doctor.
Yes.
And you just filed that one. So tell us about that one.
Yes. So the lady who passed away, she was a 32-year-old dentist. And she was also located in the state of Maharashtra. And she being a frontline worker, she had to take Covishield as early as January 2021. That was when vaccines were rolled out in India. And she took the first vaccine at the end of January 2021. And within a week, she suffered a severe headache. And she complained, she went to the doctor and she complained of it. Of course, there was a strong denial that the headache was not due to the vaccine. It was not a side effect of vaccine. But then her condition deteriorated to a great extent. And in that time, her father had written to the Serum Institute. Now, Serum Institute is the manufacturer of Covishield. And the CEO being Mr. Adar Poonawalla. And this particular vaccine, Covishield, is manufactured by Serum Institute in partnership with Bill Gates. which is the Bill Gates and Oxford, you know, the
right.
Yes, Oxford has also, you know,
is it with the in, is it with the Gates Foundation or Bill Gates individually?
It is in partnership with Bill Gates, so it is directly Mr. Bill Gates.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So, like during that time, while she was in hospital and being treated for her condition, her father, who is the petitioner in this complaint, he wrote to Serum Institute and he described her condition then. And he tried to find out if Serum Institute could help him, you know, find some solution. He asked them if Serum Institute had come across such a condition or such a case in the clinical trials. And we have these emails which were exchanged between petitioner father and Serum Institute's pharmacovigilance team. Now they replied, now there was like a lot of to and fro communication. There is a set of, mail exchanges between these two. And each time, on each occasion, Serum Institute denied that the Covishield does not cause blood clots, thrombosis, as they call it. And the unfortunate part is, while the AEFI report is out in October 2021, it is precisely the same reason being mentioned what has caused her death. So what Serum Institute denied vehemently, that thrombosis, not thrombocytopenia, not being the reason, or Covishield did not result in her death, it just turned out the opposite. It was Covishield. And we have a solid proof with us. And that is the reason why we have filed this petition. We have a strong proof in the form of AEFI report from the government itself, which states that vaccine is the cause of her death.
So one of the things you mentioned, I think, in the press release is 18 European countries have
yes.
outlawed that, I call them injections.
Yes.
And I believe some of, or all of them, were because of the clotting.
Yes, yes.
So that was known. When they denied that that was known, it was clearly known.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So that is the most shocking part of it. Like, this particular vaccine is banned by 18 European countries, and there are documented side effects. I mean, that each country has given the reason why they have suspended administration of AstraZeneca shots, because there have been cases of blood clotting being the main reason behind it. Also, last year, on 21st of July 2021, World Health Organization has issued an advisory which states that the vaccines which belong to this platform of viral vector vaccine, which is AstraZeneca and I guess Moderna, I think Johnson & Johnson's Janssen vaccine. So these two vaccines, they could possibly cause Guillain-Barré syndrome, which is a form of neurodegenerative disorder. So this advisory also has been issued. So now we are shocked at the fact that while, we have these things, these documents in domain and these advisories in domain, how could government still continue with its program of this mass vaccination? And that too, it gets severe when it comes to mandates. Because while we know that these vaccines are full of dangers, full of risk, how could possibly they be mandated? These be mandated on people? Because people are being now deprived of, the access to public places, or even they are being threatened that they would be, they would not be able to continue on their jobs. They could not access malls. They cannot access public travel systems, as a result of which they are forced to take these vaccines. So this is simply shocking, and it's beyond comprehension.
So there is a concept under most legal systems of informed consent. In other words, if you, particularly after World War II, if you are asked or encouraged to take a medical treatment, then you have a right to full and timely disclosure of the pros and cons and risks and benefits of, so you know exactly what you're getting into.
Right.
And so as an investment advisor, I've spent a lot of time encouraging people, if you're going to take this vaccine and you have the following risks, it is your responsibility to go get the health and disability and life insurance so that you don't bankrupt your family when you commit suicide. But all of that is about identifying and clarifying and estimating the risks and the costs of the risks.
Yes.
Now, what is clear from your description in the two filings and in the press releases and in the sort of coverage, there was no informed consent here. There was no disclosure process to the two people who were killed that clarified for them what the risks were.
Yes, you're right. So both of them were not informed, and certainly there is no document which could prove that they were being informed about the possible risks and side effects. So, but then that is the case in India throughout. We do not have any hospital or any person who has the documentation in which he or she has signed or has agreed on paper,
right,
and provided.
Now our experience sort of in the G7 nations is that there are still ingredients which are secret, either officially, the FDA filing has a redacted section when you can't know what that 25% is, but we also think there are other ingredients because we keep finding in badges ingredients that are not disclosed. So right. Part of the informed consent issue is secret ingredients.
Yes.
Is that also an issue in India?
Yes. I can say that that is an issue because there has not been an open disclosure of all the ingredients which go into the vaccine. There have been some, RTI queries, like what we have freedom of information requests in other countries. We have right to information requests here. So people have filed the requests to calling in for the information on all the ingredients. But as far as my knowledge and reading goes, we do not have a conclusive list, somebody who is agreeing or rather saying as this is the conclusive list and these are the ingredients and there is nothing withheld under the name of trade secrets from the vaccine manufacturers.
Right. So no informed consent. Now let's turn to the lawsuits. Who precisely are you suing and what are you asking for?
In the first lawsuit, which is filed by the man's mother, which we have filed in November. Now, this particular case, it is a request in which the mother has prayed and called in for an investigation by India's premier investigation agency. It goes by name Central Bureau of Investigation, CBI. Mm-hmm. Now, she has called for a thorough CBI investigation and has requested court to direct CBI to file a first information report. First information report is the initial document which, would trigger the further criminal, the investigation and further proceedings, criminal proceedings. So this is what she has prayed for. And also she has now, once this order comes in, then it would be the prerogative of this investigation agency to see, who all could be conjoined in it. So there is a union government, which is like Ministry of Health and Family Welfare. And we have the state governments. We have the police officials because the mother had written to the highest police officials of the state and requesting their help in, helping her to, nail the people who were responsible for her son's death. So these are the few parties whom we have named as of now in the petition. Mm-hmm. Of course, as the investigation commences, there could be, others of course, we are there to assist. Once the investigation starts, we could also assist and provide, other entities who could possibly their role or they are complicit in this crime. And this mother had also asked for an interim compensation, the financial, the monetary compensation,
right,
which is around 13 million USD as an interim compensation. And I guess around 135 million as a total compensation. That is what she has asked for.
In the first case, who would have to pay that? Would it be Bill Gates, who's one of the named parties, or would it be the state or the health or serum or a combination?
The request is similar in both the petitions. The petitioners are requesting for compensation from state, and state in turn, it would be the, High Court could decide or the state could decide to recover that money from all the guilty parties. So it could be Serum Institute, it could be Bill Gates. So their properties could be attached. So it would be up to state government to recover, but essentially it would come.
So the state pays and then the state has a right to move against the other parties.
Right.
Okay. Gotcha. Okay, and in the second one, again, it's Gates, the state, the serum. It's the same parties, I think.
Yes, they are similar parties, but there is a bit of difference in the second case. Like the father of the deceased dentist, he has asked for his stress is on the compensation. Because if you see towards the conclusion of the petition, towards the prayers section, he has said that he is not, regarding criminal prosecution of these people who are respondents in the case. It is being taken up by an NGO here, Awaken India Movement. So they are going to take action and they are going to file a complaint or a petition calling in for criminal prosecution. So that would also include, charges under Section 302 of Indian Penal Code, which is punishment for crime of committing murder. Because what we are seeing right now is clearly, murder in broad daylight. I would not really mince words around it. It is a genocide happening in open daylight.
Right, and
And
you're very clear in your statements that this is a vaccine murder.
of course, yes, we
Right,
are very
right,
clear about it.
right.
Because had there not been these coercive mandates and some unscientific circulars issued by the state governments, both of them would have had a second thought, or rather, especially the man who lost his life because he could not travel by railways and hence went in for the vaccine. The person would have been alive today, and he was a healthy man. He had no issues at all, and he had a promising life ahead. His mother, had only support in her son, and he's no more today. So this is because of the vaccine and the mandates, the coercive
Right.
mandates that came around. And
Right.
same is the case with Dr. Sneha Lunawat, the dentist who lost her life. She believed in the government narrative that the vaccines are safe, and she being the frontline healthcare workers, I'm sure she had no option because it was a directive issued that frontline workers, health workers, would have to take the vaccine. There was no
Right.
option given for them. So
Now,
for them to continue working, they had to go in for the shots.
so one of the things you bring up is the role of the media. In the
Certainly.
case. So tell us about
Yes.
that.
Yes. So actually, we have had issued a separate legal notice to all media houses here, the prominent ones. And of course, we can also include others who are not so prominent or not so popular, because they are running a unilateral one-sided narrative even till date. It's only like recently, while our hearings have commenced and the notices went to media houses regarding their criminal act of having one-sided reporting and only talking about how vaccines are safe and keeping mum and total silence over the side effects or the deaths which we are reporting, which we are knowing about every day on a daily basis. After this particular legal notice went out, they have started covering at least some portion of their prime time on the possible side effects. Like I have myself come across some news on mainstream media regarding the blood clotting that Covishield
Right.
might result into, and also the recent news about the protests in Canada, the Freedom Convoy, that was also covered by some of the mainstream media houses here. So that's a positive sign. But definitely, they are not up to the mark. They are not covering to the extent
Right.
they should have done. And we know the reason why they are not
So
doing it.
there are three issues I want to bring up around litigation over what is in essence a genocide. One is the pharmaceutical companies in the United States have extensive liability protection. Do they have liability protection in India?
No. That's a good part about it. We do not have. And that is the reason why Pfizer and Moderna has been given an EUA here in India, but Pfizer has not been able to make entry here. And the reason being, we all have been reading about the terms in the contract that Pfizer is
Right.
insisting upon all countries. And some countries had no option but to agree to it. And today, while we see even the contracts are not out in the open, there is a
Right.
veil of secrecy around it, or a redacted, we see the black portion in the contracts. So fortunately, in India, we do not have indemnity to any of the vaccine manufacturers. And this has been stated clearly on affidavit by our central government. And this affidavit is filed towards the end of November 2021. So that is a good part. So we can
So the
sue.
Serum Institute has no liability protection with their contracts with Gates. Is Gates offering them an indemnification clause so he's liable?
No, Serum Institute also does not have any
So
indemnity
do
protection.
you have access to the all contracts between Gates and the Serum Institute?
We have not gone into the, you know, studying those contracts as of now, because this is like a bit, you know, taking up our time.
Right.
But we would certainly go and study what the contracts are if we get access to these documents.
Right. Well, given the public policy ramifications of what they're doing, it seems to me those documents should be public. So,
sorry?
I said those documents, as a public policy matter, to me, it is unconstitutional and unethical under Anglo-Saxon law for them not to be public.
Yes, yes, right. Definitely. And even the clinical trials data, like there is a petition by another group of lawyers, which is filed in Supreme Court of India, which calls for more transparency and, you know, publishing the data around clinical trials and vaccine side effects. So there are a few vaccine manufacturers who withhold the clinical trials data, saying that it's like they are under no compulsion to disclose it.
Right.
So this is totally unacceptable, because
right.
if something is being forced upon us and we have questions, or we are witnessing people suffering serious side effects, like there are, you know, casualties, there are fatalities around it. So how can one not disclose the data?
Is taxpayers' money being used to pay for?
Certainly, yes.
There
yes,
you go.
There has been yeah. plunder of taxpayers' money, because we see that millions have been given to these two manufacturers. One is Serum Institute, and other is a local homegrown biotech, which the Covaxin.
Okay.
So we have, and one thing I would like to add here is the government would go on saying that vaccines are being given for free.
No.
I would say they are not free. Taxpayers' money is going into it, and money
right.
is being diverted. So
right.
it's like taxpayers' money is being diverted to something which is not required. It is not essential, and rather it is being, causing harm to lives of people.
Right. Right. If you kill the taxpayers in a municipality, it's bad for the government. It eats up lots of taxpayers' resources. Okay. So I want to turn. There's been some. A phenomenal recent disclosure by Sucharat Bhakti, Michael Palmer, writing up the work of Arne Bernhardt, who's a pathologist in Germany.
Yes.
And, you know, there was a tremendous effort when the vaccine program started to prevent autopsies. But you have a group of doctors in Germany who've done phenomenal work and proven, you know, if these are my words, not theirs, but basically proven they knew the damage this would do.
Yes.
In other words, I would argue this is not, among other reasons, this is not a vaccine, because a vaccine has an intention of medicine, not of genocide. So that pathology disclosure has really rocked the world.
Yes.
And it wouldn't surprise me if there are more than a few insurance companies in the G7 who are very nervous about it. Have you been able to access that work to help you in these two lawsuits?
I have gone through the initial videos of Dr. Sucharit Bhakdi, where he had explained how, you know, gradually blood clotting would happen in the veins and in the cells within. And over a period of time, we would witness massive number of deaths. So I had gone through the video series. However, the latest ones where they say that some embalmers have found rubber-like clots in, after they performed the autopsy of dead people, I'm yet to go through the details of it.
So go through the last symposium we did for Doctors of COVID Ethics. Mm-hmm. You have Bhakti and then Burkhardt and then Palmer. And I would strongly recommend you look at that. And they've published a paper with a 5-page PDF. It's very short, simple, on what the pathology reports mean. And I would really encourage you to look at them in the hopes that it would give you even greater support for your case.
Yes.
So,
yes, thank
anyway.
You so much. I'll go through it.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I'm sure, I don't know if you have any pathologists doing autopsies in India, but, it would be interesting to see what has been found there that could help. So clearly the world is watching, because we have attorneys all over the world saying, how do you stop this? How do you stop this?
Mm-hmm.
So talk about what you've been able to do to network with attorneys around the world about what you're doing.
So we have this multi-pronged strategy wherein we are working, extra hours to spread awareness amongst people here in my country, because as we get to know that most of them had been brainwashed. It was only when people realized that even after two doses of vaccines, they are being forced to wear masks. They are being forced to follow all, you know, what they call as COVID appropriate behavior, social distancing and not, you know, crowding anywhere. Or maybe if there are lockdowns, even these people have to sit inside. If there is a work from home arrangement, even they have to sit at home and they cannot go to their place of work. So this was a critical juncture when they had second thoughts about, you know, what was being given to them, because they were given an assurance earlier that the vaccine would take care of everything and they can go back to their normal life, which did not happen. So that's the reason why people became a bit skeptical. And given our awareness programs, like it's not only, you know, only Indian Bar Association, we have collaborated with a lot of NGOs here, like Awaken India Movement, which is doing a phenomenal work. There are other regional NGOs also. There are activists, there are lawyers, investigative journalists who are, who have taken up the challenge to spread maximum awareness. And we can see the progress done when the numbers are published in newspapers regarding how many doses have, you know, been left unused. There is a stockpiling which is not utilized. And the numbers that they publish as to, you know, people who have refused to go in for the second dose of vaccine. So we see this as an indicator as to, you know, how our efforts are, getting results. So that's a good thing. But we plan to do it in a more rapid and, you know, more extensive manner so that we reach the villages and the interior areas in the country. Because at times, people in the interior villages, they are not aware of their legal rights and they cannot stand up to the authorities. So that is where support is needed. And we have created networks within the country. Right. So that we could send, you know, spread the message across. So at least we don't have these booster doses in India. Like we have
you don't have any boosters.
Yes, we do not
have booster. When you see people's face when they are told they have to take another one.
So our Prime Minister came up with something like a precautionary dose. And this announcement was made on 25th December 2021, wherein he said that it would not be a booster dose. It is a precautionary dose and it is recommended only for people above age of 60 who have comorbidities and frontline workers. So it's certainly not mandatory. It is like recommended as of now. So, and the latest news, which I read a couple of days ago, our government, after discussion with WHO, it has come up with a stand stating that India would not blindly copy other countries which have gone for booster doses, because there is enough data which shows that boosters have not been effective. Like we have Israel data coming in. Right. So luckily, we see there is like awareness, and there is certainly, the results are obvious as to the pressure groups that we have created or the representations which we keep on sending to our governments, to local representatives. That is, the tide has started turning and we can see the results, positive results.
So one of my concerns from what we're seeing here in Europe and in the United States is that we are watching a control grid go into place with passports, QR codes, and an all-digital financial system. And it's not in place yet, but once it moves into place, it can mandate anything it wants. In other words, you know, I call them digital concentration camps. It turns your home, your office, and your car into a digital concentration camp. And if you don't do what you're told, you know, then they can mandate anything. They can mandate 50 vaccines. And if you look at some of these apps on vaccine passports, they envision 8 or more boosters.
Right.
So what are you doing, if anything, to stop that control grid from going into place?
Well, in India, I would say the process has begun, but it is happening at a slow pace. Like today, 1st February, we had our union budget published by our finance minister. And she has mentioned about a digital currency by our central bank, which would be rolled out somewhere in financial year 2023. Now, I'm yet to go through the details of it. Maybe towards the end of the day, I'll read what exactly has been announced by the finance minister. But we can certainly see it is, going towards that one nation, one currency. So that is happening. Regarding COVID passports in India, as of now, the process has not commenced. People here are getting, there is a mobile application, by name Arogya Setu and Cowin, which captures all the information regarding the first dose, second dose. So people here are being given certificate, vaccine certificate as of now. So it is not in a passport format where, some other details are being also linked in. However, there have been talks that there would be a unique digital health ID which would come in. Our Prime Minister has announced, and Mr. Bill Gates had congratulated our Prime Minister on this announcement of a digital health ID mission. So again, it is in a very, a very preliminary stage as of now. Details are yet to be published. So
So
the
the
process has begun, but we will be definitely extra careful, and we would ensure that we bombard and we write to our governments and representatives not to go ahead by giving reasons. And if need be, we will again approach courts to oppose it.
So the pushback was so great against the passports here in Europe. It's now been reinvented as a, I forget what the name is. It's private privacy digital privacy wallet to make sure you're it's you know they just keep changing. It's a marketing
Yes.
program. They just keep
And
changing the names, but it's
they would announce it as something, in garb of convenience or safety of assets or convenience of transacting, convenience of business. But we know it has nothing to do with that. It's about control and, yes, monitoring.
Now, I don't know if you've had a chance to see, but the UK, a group of people in the UK have proceeded with filing criminal liability or filing for criminal investigation at police station after police station. They've
Yes.
created a package of, and can share a package, but they each can file. And it's quite clever, I think, because they're literally walking into police station after police station and asking the local vaccine center to be shut down. And if you get enough of these, either filing for criminal prosecution or criminal investigation, as well as notices of liabilities, to the
Yes.
doctors, et cetera, you're talking about a real movement. Have you
Yes.
had a chance to take a look at that?
Yes. I have been reading about I think there's one name which I can remember, Mr. Saxton. He he yes, he being leading this, and also Dr. Sam White, whom I had a chance to interact. Yes. And it's really bringing in a movement kind of a thing. There's a lot of momentum around it, and maybe that could be the reason why. We could see the mandates being taken away, and the Prime Minister Boris Johnson is now talking
Well,
about.
it's one of the reasons I love what you're doing with the procedures, because the more you make the procedures accessible to people, the more they can either take action or support action.
Right.
Okay, talk about the education process as you do these lawsuits, and as more and more people realize what's going on. What has worked in terms of educating people? What has worked to help people understand the risks? What's worked? Just tell us the top tactics you've used that you've found work for you.
Right. So there are 3 to 4 parameters that we are working on. We assess the level of the education of the group that we are targeting. So if it's like people with higher education, we would talk to them about their legal rights. We would explain to them what are the provisions in our constitution, in our laws here in India, what are the settled laws regarding body autonomy and your rights to choose the line of medication, because those people are receptive, they could understand. This is one group. Secondly, there could be a group who I would say fence sitters. So by this time they are full of doubts, and they have realized that there is something wrong in what is going on, but they do not know what is exactly wrong. So when they approach us, or we get a chance to communicate to them, we carry all the scientific papers and the findings that we have, possibly explain to them in the local language, the regional language. Our volunteers would go and explain to them and clarify their queries and answer their questions which they would possibly have. So there we have a successful conversion into somebody who is, you know, skeptical. And now he's on our side. He knows that, okay, this is what is going, you know, wrong. Third category would be of people who are, you know, who could be in, you know, interiors or the countryside, who are not really, not everybody is aware of what World Health Organization is, what Gavi is, or what Bill Gates is doing, or what is a medical deep state in India. They would not know.
Right.
But then they are aware that, you know, some operation is being done to kill them. But again, they do not know the nitty gritties of it. So that
right.
would be something very case specific that we address. However, what we have seen is after the data around deaths has started emerging, which, you know, people openly write and discuss on social media platforms, and then it just goes viral. So the deaths and serious side effects like paralysis or loss of sight, loss of hearing, and, you know, some other untimely deaths of people by cardiac arrests. So these are the things which, you know, have shaken up people, and
so
people have woken up now.
Isn't there a history of problems with Gates-related vaccinations in India? So this is not the first time they've been to this movie in India.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes, you're right. So it's definitely not the first time. We have had unauthorized trials of HPV vaccines by Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation way back in 2009. And then there was a parliamentary committee constituted to investigate into what had gone wrong in these trials, because everything was horribly wrong about it. The laws around clinical trials was flouted royally, and informed consent, again, it was not at all taken. And the tribal girls on whom this experiment was carried on, some 14,000 tribal girls, these girls were not even aware of what is being given to them. You know, the people
right.
who administered vaccines told them, these girls, that this is something which is coming as a free medicine, which otherwise is very costly. And secondly, this would you know, save them from getting serious diseases like cervical cancer. So this is what was being told to them. And on top of that, there was an impression created that this drive, this vaccination drive, which was not a vaccination drive, it was a trial. It was a part, they made it look like a part of a national immunization program. So even the, you know, the ones who were in charge of these girls, the parents and the hostel, you know, people where these girls were staying, they believed it. And they, you know, they made these girls go through the unauthorized trials. So when this parliamentary report came out, it was published in August 2013. It clearly in no
and it was a huge, I mean, it got tremendous attention.
Yes. Because there was like a lot of uproar from all corners of country. There were several NGOs which were involved, who insisted on, you know, who decided to take this matter and get it investigated. And that was the reason the public pressure led into a constitution
right.
of this parliamentary committee. And there the report is you know, so explosive. This report is available online. It clearly states that a investigation by CBI, our premier investigation agency, is required into Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation activities and corrupt officials of ICMR. ICMR is the Indian Council of Medical Research, which is our premier research body, and it is also at present it is involved in designing the country's COVID response. So it is like a totally an explosive report. And the case also went to the Supreme Court, and the last hearing had happened in year 2018. So unfortunately, after that, we do not see any, listing or the matter being heard.
So have you read Kennedy's new book on Gates and Fauci?
I'm in process of reading.
Okay.
I have it on my Kindle. So I'm like, you know, in process of reading it. It's excellent.
So I tell everybody, I'm giving it out like Halloween candy. I want everybody to have a copy. But, you know, the one thing it does show you is that these folks are equal opportunity killers. They're killing children and they're killing people everywhere. You know, so
yes.
We have a very unifying opportunity here, because throughout my career, what I find is everybody's fighting the killing in their little, you know, they're fighting drug dealing, or they're fighting nuclear radiation, and they're not all looking at the sort of the governance level and realizing, oh, it's a handful of people are killing all of us, you know,
and we have
something in common here. And so I'm hoping that the process of finally understanding how this cartel works will help us start to realize we have a vested interest in helping each other be free and having the disclosure we need to navigate our world. Because if you look at the number of people who've been tricked here, it's just heartbreaking. It's heartbreaking.
Yes.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, it's very saddening at times. While we are working on these lawsuits and creating awareness, we have this feelings inside that, oh, we could have saved these lives. Had it been, our message would have reached them, or they would have realized that this is what is going on. They might have, these people would have resisted, and they would have been alive today. So it's really heartbreaking.
So what I do, we have an expression called turtle, because it is heartbreaking, but you can only do what you can do. So you just have to keep, you have to be like a turtle, and you just have to keep moving forward no matter what, and do what you can. And what's amazing is if you just refuse to quit, you know, life-changing things can happen. So one last question. Clearly, you and the fellow members of the Indian Bar Association, this was a big step. You were the first on the whole planet to do this that I know of. That's my impression. You know, so for a group of attorneys to do this, this is a very big step. And to go first planet-wide, what inspired you to do this?
Right. So we came into this around May of 2021. We started, initially it was a legal notice issued to WHO's chief scientist, Dr. Soumya Swaminathan. It was around her disinformation campaign of the drug ivermectin. So due to paucity of time, I might not be able to discuss that in detail. So that was our first step. And the notice went so viral.
But I just have to say for everybody listening, it's a very important step. Because if you have therapies, there's no need for a vaccination, let alone an emergency authorization of new untested vaccinations. So
Right. And that's the reason why it was like received widely, and it went viral across the globe. And I was not even on Twitter at that time, but somebody, you know, one of my friends came and told me that, you know, it has gone viral and literally every country is aware of that notice. So that was a time when, we came in touch with people and organizations like Awaken India Movement and their volunteers and several other people from other states of India. And they shared volumes of information, tons of information, Awaken India Movement came and updated us on what had happened around HPV vaccines. Some other group came and, informed us with all papers and evidences, all reports regarding the polio vaccination drive, again, with the involvement of Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation and other aspects. So with that kind of data, we had brainstorming sessions here. And of course, thanks to all the, brave team of lawyers and activists that we have. And now that we all have come together, we are working, with the spirit of togetherness. It was, the combined, courage and, the grit that we decided that we will go ahead. And since this is not the first time that Bill Gates had, attacked on us and, he has killed people in India, it's a time that we have to take a very strong action. And of course, we were aware that as far as COVID is concerned, we all global citizens are in this together. So it is not only about Indian people in India, but it's throughout. And maybe he is not the only person. He could be one of the many persons of this cabal. But we have to start from somewhere. And with his history in India, it was very easy for us, file or to draft these petitions and initiate action against him. And we will go after every person. In fact, one of our NGOs has filed a complaint with President of India back in August 2021.
Who was that?
It is an NGO by name HRSC, which is Human Rights Security Council. I can share the complaint copy with you. It is an exhaustive complaint, around 140 pages. And the complainant has requested for investigation around several international people who are outside India, like Dr. Tedros, Dr. Anthony Fauci. The reason being the actions, the acts of commission and omission of these people is directly impacting life and liberty of people in India.
Right.
So definitely they are complicit in what we are, you know, the crimes that we are talking about. So we would definitely go, it's not only, we won't even stop at Bill Gates. We would go after everybody who is complicit in this criminal conspiracy.
I hate to say that's a long list.
Yes, it is a long list. True.
Okay, well, this is, I don't know if you realize, but we just started the year of the tiger, so I predict great things for you and the Indian Bar Association. So what, one last thing, what can we do to help? So we will probably make this subscriber only for the first week or so, but then we'll take it public so everybody can share it. And so what besides publishing your efforts, what can we do to help? What can people do to help you, especially attorneys around the world?
Yes. So currently, it's more of exchange of information amongst our international colleagues, be it lawyers and activists worldwide. Because as we have some certain things common across all countries, there are some specific aspects, and we see there is a time lag. Like what we see in developed countries, we might not see it here in India now. So at times our interaction or staying connected with international colleagues helps us to be, you know, be well aware and be well prepared as to what is coming through. So maybe communication is the key, and the more connected we stay have an open communication and a continuous communication, that would really be of great help.
Now, on the Indian Bar Association website, does it say how they should contact you?
Yes, we have a form. We have a link for, you know, which says contact information. So a person could put a brief message and could share his contact details, and our team would get in touch with him.
Okay, and we will put links, all the links to the complaints that you sent us, to your website, and anything else that you send. We'll make sure it all gets up.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, anything else you want to describe today before we finish?
I want to thank you for your good work. Recently, I have seen your speech at the protests in Europe. I have seen the press conference, and also I was lucky to, you know, hear your discourse on, you know, what is this financial grid all about. And it's really like, you know, for me, it's really an advantage to be, you know, an added advantage to know what could possibly come in our way and what is the kind of resistance that we need to work on. And also today I was going through the website of Solari reports, and I'm profoundly grateful for the wealth of information that you have put on there, you and your team. I'm really grateful to all of you. Thank you so much.
Our goals this year at Solari, number one is to help the people who've been harmed by the laws. But the next thing is we want to stop that control grid. Because I don't want to see a world where suddenly they can slap on a mandate every day, a new one every day, and there's nothing we could do. So,
Because that is going to be a never-ending process. The moment one does not comply, he or she would be thrown out of the system, the ecosystem, and then he would definitely be deprived of his, the daily lives, what we need for our daily lives, maybe our private assets and our bodily rights. So the more we comply, the deeper we would get into trouble. So
right. Kennedy always says, and I love this, he said, you can't comply your way out of tyranny.
Yes.
But you know that. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us on the Solari Report. Thank you. Thank you, the members of the Indian Bar Association. We're very grateful, and you have a wonderful day. Okay?
Thank you so much. Have a great day ahead.
Bye.